Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Mem Vav. If you remember, at the end of yesterday's share, we brought down the opinion of Rav Nachman. We had two different versions of Rav Nachman. Why in our Mishnah, we had explained why if a man divorced his wife because of either shame, rather, there was unfortunately a rumor going about that she had been adulterous, or that a woman was making nedarim, and a man divorced his wife because of the nedarim that she made, we'd said in the Mishnah, lo yachzir. So we brought down, in the name of Rav Nachman, Omer of Yosef, Bar Ben Yumi, Omer of Nachman, at the end of yesterday's share, that there are two possible reasons for this. The first version was that it's Bishum Kilkula. As we had explained, there would be a concern that since he divorced her based upon the fact that she had been acting immorally, that she had committed adultery, or that she was making a darim, and then if it turns out that in fact she hadn't acted immorally, it was all a rumor that was false, and the husband would say, hey, if I had known that, I never would have divorced you. Likewise, if she'd made nedarim and then she'd been matur them. So he would say, if I'd known that, then I never would have divorced her. So this, according to Rashi, would lead to the potential that the kiddushin that she had with a new husband would in fact not be valid. She was still married to the old husband because the get wasn't a good get. And the children born to the new husband would be mamzerim. Or according to Tosos, we'd explain that even if it's not an actual truth to the fact that the divorce wouldn't be good, it would cast aspersions on her that, oh, well, it really wasn't a good divorce, and maybe your children on Zerin would be a terrible kilkula. So that's the first reason of Nachman brought Mishum Kilkula. The husband is allowed to take his wife back if he says, I'm divorcing because you are unfortunately acting inappropriately, immorally, or that you make nedarim. The second reason, the Yigud Yamri that we had yesterday at the end of the Shia, as to what Rav Nachman's reasoning was because he's trying to make sure that Benos Yisrael, Kedei Shlo Yu Benos Yisrael, Perutzos Barayus Benedarim. So he tells him, listen, this is improper behavior, and therefore if you're acting in this proper way, women should know that this is going to lead to divorce. So again, we have two reasons over here as to why our Mishnah said Lo Yachzer. Now the Gemara is going to bring, we pick up Tanya Kilishna Kama. This is 9 lines up from the top of Mem Vav Amud Aleph. So we'll have a brice in support of the first version that we had of Rav Nachman. We have a brice in support of the second version of Rav Nachman. Tanya Kilishna Kama, Vitanya Kilishna Basra. Brice is in support of both versions. The first brice, Tanya Kilishna Kama, supports the first version. On Ramey, the brice says that Ramey said, Mipinei ma amru hamotzi es ishto mishum shem ra lo yachzir umishum neder lo yachzir. Why did the rabbi say that if the man divorces his wife because of the suspicion that she committed adultery, or the rumors about her that she committed adultery, or that she makes nedarim, that he's not allowed to take her back? So Rebbeinu says, Shema teilech betinos iliacher, as we pointed out already, that maybe she'll go and marry a new husband. She got her divorce, she marries a new husband. V'nimtzu dvarim badoyim. And as Rashi points out, it will turn out that the allegations against her were found not to be true. Either shel shemra, or v'huadin linya neder dehuta, or she did make nedarim, but she had been matir her nedarim. She went to the basin, and the basin was matir her nedarim. And therefore, the person says, v'yomar, he's going to say, hey, if I had known, if I'd known that in fact she hadn't committed adultery, people weren't correct in the allegations against her, or if I'd known that you're allowed to go to the base and be mati the neder, even they paid me $1 million, they give me a tremendous amount of money, maya money, lo hayisi megasha, I never would have divorced her. And therefore, the nimtzah get batel. It turns out, again, Rashi says, literally, the get would be batel, ubanea mamzerin. Therefore, she's not allowed to marry a second husband. If she does marry him, it's an adulterous relationship, and any children born to that adulterous relationship, even by accident, are mamzerin. According to Tosos, it doesn't literally mean that they would be, the get would not be good. It would mean people would therefore suspect when the guy says, hey, I never would have divorced her. Well, they might think, well, then it's not a good divorce. And it would cast aspersions upon the lineage of the children born to her second husband, because he technically is her husband. And people are going to say, hey, maybe the get wasn't a good get. And therefore, these children are mamzeru. And therefore, lefikach, therefore, the rabbi said, Omrim lo, we tell this man, have you there? You should know. If you go and divorce your wife, Bishum Shemra, Lo Yachzir, because of this allegations against her morality, so then you're not allowed to go take her back. And likewise, Mishum Nadir, because she makes the darm, even though they can be matir, you can't say afterwards, I didn't know that, Lo Yachzir, you're not allowed to go take her back. That's the explanation that we gave, Mishum Kilkula. That's the brisa in support of the first understanding that we had of Rav Nachman explaining the Tanakam and our Mishnah. Tani Kilishna Basra, we have a brisa in support of the second understanding that it was Shlo Yibinos Yisrael Prutzos. So Tanya Kilishna Basra, the brisa states as follows: Amru Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yosi says, "Mibnei Ma Amru Amosi Ishto Mishum Shemra Lo Yachzir Mishum Ned Lo Yachzir." What's the reasoning that you're not going to take back your wife if you divorce her because of the rumors going about that she had committed adultery, or because she made nedarim? So The Braisa states, Shelo yu b'nos Yisrael p'rutzos b'arayis ubi nedarim. So women shouldn't go and act in immoral ways and shouldn't make nedarim. And therefore, l'pikach omrim lo, we tell this husband at the time that he's divorcing her, and more or less, say to your wife, Hevi yodas, you should know. Shemishum shem ra, ani motziacha, umishum neder, ani motziacha. Either I'm divorcing you because of the allegations against you that you're acting immorally, or I'm divorcing you because of the nedarim that you make. And therefore, women will hear this and understand that these are not character traits that you want to have. Women shouldn't be making nedarim, and women certainly shouldn't be acting immorally. And therefore, that will send a message to Benos Yisrael not to act in that fashion. Oh, we have a braisa in support of the second understanding of Rav Nachman. Now, according to Mishnah, the Mishnah said, Rav Yehuda Omer, kol neder sheyodbo rabim lo yachzir. He can't go take her back because a neder that's publicly made can't be done ataris based in. It was made al das rabim in public, and therefore it can't be retracted, and therefore this person can't take her back because he said, this is why I'm divorcing you. And this goes according to the second reason that we brought down for Rav Nachman, that this is a message sending to the women of Klai Yisrael that don't make nedarim. Now, he doesn't make any comment, Rav Yehuda doesn't make any comment about the pritzos acting in a moral fashion. So, Mistam, he agrees with the Tanakam in that regard as well. So, the bottom line is, Yehuda says, that you're not allowed to go and make a neder that's made in public and retracted because you want Klai Yisrael's women to know that this is an improper way to act. Where did he learn this from? I'm Rishon Levi, my time of the view, the way to get this idea that a neder that's made in public cannot be retracted. Because the pasuk says, and this is in regards to Yoshua and the Givonim. The Givonim tricked Yoshua. They really were from Eretz Yisrael. They're one of the Zion Umos. And in fact, they told Yoshua, oh, we come from a faraway place. And they dressed up like they were traveling a long distance. But in fact, they were from dwelling in Eretz Yisrael. They were the Givonim. And he tricked them. And they made a shua that they wouldn't go and attack the Givonim. And even after they found out that they were living in Eretz Yisrael, so they said, well, we made a shua in public, and therefore we're not going to go and be able to retract it, and therefore we're not going to go and kill you. So that's the source, which Shmuel Levi says, for review the shita, that a neder that's made in public is unable to be retracted. There is no such thing as Satar Sadarim, because otherwise the Nisim would have done Satar Sadarim, and they would have then been able to go fight the Givonim. No, that's Rav Yehuda. Why does the Chachamim disagree with that? V'Rabbanan, what do they say? Hasam, they hold, mi cholo shavua ilavayu klal. They said, in that situation, there's no shavua. The shavua never got off the ground. When the Klai Yisrael swore to the Givonim, it was a mekach tos, it was made a mistake. And kivan the armulu, because the Givonim said, in the Eretz Uchok, we came from a faraway place, the lobo, they in fact were not from a faraway place, they lived in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, the opinion of the Chachamim is lo chai lo shavua ilavayu klal. There is no shvu over here, so therefore they didn't have to go and fulfill that shvu. It was a total mekach tos, so to say. It was a total shvu that was done b'tos. The high, the low, taklinu. So then, why didn't they go and kill them? Why did they say that wasn't because of the shvuah, because mishum kiddushas Hashem, because it would have looked like they were breaking the shvuah to the entire world, and that would have caused a chilul Hashem. So therefore, in order not to create a chilul Hashem, in order to make a kiddushas Hashem, so therefore they said, okay, we will not go and attack you. Tosfos asks an interesting question. How were they allowed to make a shvuah that goes against the chiyuv, the imperative, to go wipe out the Zayin Umos? So they had to wipe out the seven tribes, the seven Canaanite nations. So how could they go and now make a shvuah that they won't go and do that? So Tosfos and Dibra Masel, Kiva D'Amru, has an interesting statement. He says, without this mekach tos, shvuah tos, still, they were making a shua to go against the mitzvah. As the pasuk said, they had to wipe them all out. Even though the Yerushalmi in Shviyas tells us, there were three, so to say, messages that Yeshua sent into the Zion Umos. He said, Ashlo, ye consul Aretz. He said, before they entered into the land of Eretz Yisrael, he told them, you have three options. Mishu wrote, Lifanos, Yifana. Anybody wants to leave Eretz Yisrael, we'll let you leave. We won't attack you, and you go resettle someplace else. Those of you that want to make peace with us, Lahashlim, Yashlim, we'll let you make peace with us. And last was Milchama, Yashlim, Milchama. Those of you who want to fight with us, you can fight with us. So therefore, he gave them three options. So Gershuni, the people that from Gershuni, Pina, they left. They went to Africa. They went to Africa and they left and they weren't wiped out. The Givonim, Hishlimu, they made peace. So therefore, you see that the Givonim made peace. Shloshim Yecha, the 31 Melachim, Asu Milchama, and they did Melchama Klai Yisrael. And of course, they lost. Now, This was all Hainu Kodem Sha'avru Esayadin. Before Klai Yisrael entered the Yadin, they had the option of either run away, go into exile, make peace with us, or fight with us. Kidikama, as we just pointed out. Achlo Yichansu L'Eretz. That's only applicable until they entered into the land of Eretz Yisrael. However, Tosfos Avol Mishneh Nichlisu Mashma Shelo Yicholim L'Hashlim. They weren't able to sue for peace anymore at this point in time. So how could Klai Yisrael go and make a neder that would go against a mitzvah to go wipe them out? That's why the Givonim at this point had to go do their trick. They couldn't just sue for peace regular because it was too late. So therefore they said, so that's Tosis Kasha. Why do you say that it was a shuah v'tos? Just say that the shuah never was chal because they weren't allowed to make such a shuah. And Tosis gives a somewhat detailed answer till the end of this Tosos, Ayin Sham, gives a couple of different possibilities as to how you could answer the question. One teretz is that it really was, they could always sue for peace, and it was only you were allowed to wipe them out if they didn't sue for peace. That's a simple teretz. Ayin Sham for other teretz. Okay, Gemara goes weiter and says, how do we define what's made a neder in public? V'kama rabim. How do we define that this neder was made in public, that it doesn't have a Torah according to Rabbi Yehuda, based upon the statement of Yishuv and Levi from the Givonim? So Rav Nachman Amar B'Gimel, Rav Yitzchak Amar Asara. So we have machlokas. Rav Nachman says in front of 3 people it's called berabim, and Rav Yitzchak says in front of 10 people it's called berabim. Where do they get their sources? So Rav Nachman Amar B'Gimel, he says based upon by nida it says yomim rabim. So it says a lot, rabim. So therefore, how many days is that? Yomim is 2 days, and rabim means one more day, gimel. If a woman has a flow during the period of time when she's potentially capable of coming a ziva, from days 8 through 18, right? The 7-11 concept of 7 days of nidus and then 8 days of potential ziva, 11 days of potential ziva. So a flow of 3 days during this time is yomim rabim. So therefore, you see that rabim, harbe, is called 3. So that's where Nachman gets his shita of rabim being 3. Where does Rav Yitzchak get his shita for 10? Rav Yitzchak Amar Asara, because Dichsev Eda. Rashi points out, reminds us, we just had in Parshas Shlach, that it says, Gabi de Meraglim, La Eda Hara'ah. So how much longer are you going to go and listen to this Eda Hara'ah? Now, the Eda Hara'ah was referring to the Meraglim. The Meraglim were 12, but of course, Yotzu Yoshua V'Kalim, because they weren't Biatzas of Meraglim, so therefore 10 is called Eda. So therefore, that's considered public, and that's where Rav Yitzchak gets his shita of 10 from. Let me quote Remei in the Mishnah. Remei Romer Kol Neder Shetzarich V'Chule. Remei said that if you go and divorce your wife because of the neder that she made, that was Tzarich Chakiras Chacham, that could in fact not be annulled by your husband, but would have to be having Hataras Nedarim, then in that type of a situation, Lo Yachsir. Because Remei holds Mishum Kilkula. He's concerned that, if I'd known that I could go to the Talmud Chacham, then I would go and not have divorced my wife. So the Kilkula reason for Rav Nachman explaining the Tanakhama. So Rav Meir holds like that as well. So Kol Neder Shetzarich Chakiras Chacham Lo Yachzir. However, Rav Sheno Tzarich Chakiras Chacham Yachzir. He's allowed to take it back because everybody knows that you're allowed to go and be made for a neder, and therefore he can't go and cause a kilkul in that situation by saying, "Oh, if I don't, then I could be matir a neder myself, made for a neder myself, then I wouldn't have let her go and get divorced." So that's Rav Meir's opinion. On the other hand, then along came Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar said, "Lo Asru Zeh El Bnei Zeh." Rabbi Elazar holds no. Everyone knows that people don't want their wives to be dragged out into public and to go and do Hataras Nedarim in public. So therefore, if he had said, I had wished, if I'd known that I could do Hataras Nedarim, I would have had my wife go to the Beis Din. He says, no, people don't want their wives to go public into the Beis Din. So therefore, that's not a concern. The only concern, according to Rabbi Elazar, is, in fact, if the person said, I didn't know that I could be made for my wife's Nedarim, that's done bitzina, that's done in private. So therefore, that could cause a kilkul. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar says, since we're concerned about the fact that he may say, I didn't know I could do Hafaras Nedarim, so therefore, we say that he's not allowed to be machzir. So Elazar says, Lo asu zeh el bnei zeh. So we don't allow either one. We don't allow to be machzir in the case of the Hafaras Nedarim, and therefore, in order to make sure that that stays, so we also didn't allow it in the case of the Hataras Nedarim. We'll explain this more in a moment. The Gemara, that's really the re-quoting of the Mishnah. The Gemara starts and says, Tanya, we learn the following braisa, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Lo Asru Tzarich, El Bnei Sheino Tzarich. He explains this statement. Rabbi Elazar says that the rabbis didn't allow you to go and return to be Machzir Grusha. So in the case where you were requiring a Hataras Nedarim case, Ella, only because Bnei Sheino Tzarich, only because of the case of Hafaras Nedarim, that could lead to a kilkul. So therefore, they didn't even allow you to go do it in the case of Hataras Nedarim, which could not lead to a kilkul, according to Rabbi Elazar. Now, what are Rav Elazar and Rav Meir arguing about? Rav Meir says that in the case of Hafaris Nedarim, we aren't concerned. Rabbi Elazar says, in the case of Hafaris Nedarim, we are concerned. But Michael Mifflin, what are they arguing about? A man doesn't concern himself that his wife would have to go to a Beis Din and be embarrassed by having to go publicly in a Beis Din. Kokud Bas Melech Penima, the famous Pasuk from Tehillim, tells us that certainly in those days, and even nowadays, a woman's role is more of an inside role, not a public fanfare type of a role. And therefore, there is an opinion that states that a man would not want his wife to be publicly disgraced by having to do Hataras Nedarim. Ramea disagrees with that. Ramea Sovar, other roads to Titus Bazi Ishto Bevesin. A man is not concerned if his wife has to do Hataras Nedarim. No, she has to do Hataras Nedarim. She has to do Hataras Nedarim. And therefore, a person could make a claim that would cause kilkul by saying, oh, if I'd known that my wife could go and do Hataras Nedarim in public, it wouldn't have bothered me. I would have been happy for her to do it. And therefore, the divorce isn't a good divorce. Like Rashi, we have to be real concerned about Mazarim. Like Tosos, you have to be concerned only of the pagam that would come to the mishpacha. Oh, people would argue that she really wasn't a divorced woman, and therefore the children are mamzerim, even though they're technically not. So that's for Meir's opinion. For Loza Sover, no, I hold the kokvud bas melech penima. Ain't adam rotsa to tizbaz the ishto beisin. A man would not want his wife to go publicly into a beis din and have to do hataras nedarim. And therefore, that's not a taina. That's not a valid taina. And therefore, technically, we should not have to be concerned at all if a woman had made nedarim that the man would argue afterwards. If I'd known that we could do hataras nedarim, go to a beis din, then I wouldn't have divorced it. No man would want that. The presumption is ain't other mirotz shitzbaz ishto beisin, and therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar, that would not be a reason not to allow to be machzir grusha also, because there is no such concern. However, the rabbis were concerned about hafaras nedarim, and therefore Rabbi Elazar says, if a person could say, I didn't know that I as a husband was able to be made for a nedarim, so therefore I wouldn't have divorced if I'd known that. So therefore, because of that concern, the rabbi said, we don't allow any hafara or hataras nedarim to be machzir grusha. So that's the machlokas of Rav Meir and the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Then we quote the last case of the Mishnah, where we had a Maisa Shoya that I said didn't seem to fit in, and now we'll explain it. On Rav Yosef Rehuda, Maisa Betzin Vechule, we had the Maisa in Sidon, where it seemed that a man had made an edit. So Gemara says, Maitana, the Ketani Maisa, what's going on over here? As Rashi says, my Tana, who is the Tana over here that we've been talking about a woman making an eder, and now we talk about the man making an eder? It seems to be a non sequitur. There seems to be something missing. And the Gemara says, yeah, 100%, chisur mechsav halchitani. There are pieces missing from this Mishnah, and this is what's missing. This is where you read the Mishnah. When do we say that the husband is not allowed to be machzir grusha? So that's talking about kishinadra he, when the wife was the one that made the nedarim, and either because of kilkula or because of pritzus. So we said the husband can't go take her back. But avol nadar ihu, if the man had made a neder, as we'll see, he made a neder that all the fruits of the world are going to be awesome to me unless I divorce my wife. So then he divorced his wife, nevertheless there, Yachzer, we do allow Hataras Nedarim, and therefore he's allowed to go take his wife back. She was fully divorced, but there is no problem, no gzeira over here that the rabbi said that you can't go take your wife back. So there's a difference between the woman making the Nedarim and the man making the Nedarim. So that's the chiddush over here that the Mishnah is telling us. And then it brings the Maisa Shoya from Yosef Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, there once was such a Maisa Nami B'Tzidon, in the city of Tzidon. So the Echot Sh'om Ali Ishto, a man said to his wife, Koneim, I am asri myself, as we'll see, all the fruit of the world, imeini migar shech, if I don't go and divorce you. And then, so he divorced the vigersha, so all the fruits of the world are not asri to him. And in this situation, the rabbis did not make exer, you're not allowed to take your wife back. And the rabbis allowed him to take his wife back because of this concept of tikkun olam, which we'll explain in a moment what we're talking about. So Gemara, we turn to Menvov Amud Beis, says, my Koneim, what exactly did he make in Edith? So I already explained this, Rav Huna. The man said, all the fruits of the world should be awesome to me if I don't divorce my wife. And therefore, he divorced her, and all the fruits of the world are not awesome to him. Fine, that was the neder. Then we said in the midst of it, the Gemara says, obviously, why would you not? What's the chashash over here that you shouldn't be allowed to go take back your wife in this situation? Why would the rabbis think to have made such a gzeira? So what says, no, you might have thought ligzor that the rabbis would make a gzeira over here too as well because of the famous statement of Rav Nosson. You shouldn't the Rav Nosson. What did Rav Nosson say? The Tanya in the Brisa, Rav Nosson Omer, Hanoder, Rav Nosson, we had this many times in the Gemara in the Dharm. Rav Nosson said that if a person makes a neder, it's a terrible thing. A person shouldn't make the Dharm. Ki'ilu bono bama. It's as if you made a bama, your own private personal mizbech to a Kodesh Baruch Hu during the times when it was us to make a bama, during the time of Shiloh, and once the Beis HaMikdash has been built, you're not allowed to go and have a bama. No, during the time of Nov and Givon, you are allowed to have your own private backyard mizbeach and sacrifice certain korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But here we're talking about when there was an Isser in bama. For example, today, you're not allowed to make a korban. You're not allowed to go and bring a backyard altar and bring a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I know there, if somebody makes an eder, it's as if kilu bana bama, as if he did this terrible thing of building a bama. And in fact, if you're a makayim the nether, if I'm a makayimo, kiilu, he could roll out a carbon. And then when you go fulfill the nether, so it's as if you brought a carbon. So you might have thought that since this person did something wrong, he divorced his wife and he was makayim his nether, so to say, that I will ask myself all the parents of the world if I don't divorce you. So he was makayim his nether over here to go and divorce this woman. So therefore, you might have thought that the rabbis made a knas. Now you made this terrible thing. We're not going to let you take her back. So Kamashul and the rabbis didn't make such a knas over here. That's the Habamina, why the Mishnah had to tell us, V'tiru lo shiach sirena. Now, what did it mean when we said Mipnei Tikkun Olam? So the Mishnah said there was some Tikkun Olam over here. So my Tikkun Olam, Iko, what Tikkun Olam over here by allowing the man to take back his wife? Okay, that helps that one woman. We understand that. But how is that a Tikkun Olam? So the Gemara says, on Rosheshes, you're right, it doesn't go on this last case, Aresha. Rosheshes says, nice and simple, it goes back on the first case where we didn't allow the woman to go and be taken back because of she acted in an immoral way or she made Nedarim. So there, because of Tikkun Olam, the rabbis didn't allow. They made this takana that you can't go take back your wife. That was the Tikkun Olam, either Mishum Kukul or Mishum Pritzus, as we had said. That's Rosheshes' answer. This Mipnei Tikkun Olam goes back on the beginning. Ravina Amar, no, it goes Lolam Asef. It goes on the latter part of the Mishnah with the case of the husband making the neder. And what's the Tikkun Olam? Vachik Tani. Ein Bezu Mipnei Tikkun Olam. In this situation, there is no Tikkun Olam because there is no concern over here. The husband isn't acting in an immoral fashion, and the husband doesn't normally make Nedarim. So therefore, in this situation, there is no Tikkun Olam, as opposed to in the first part of the Mishnah, there is Tikkun Olam because of Kukula or Pritzus. Next Mishnah. Hamotzi es ishto mishum islandess. If a man goes and divorces his wife because he states that she is an islandess. An islandess is like an isle, like a male ram. In other words, his wife is incapable of having children. So if a man goes and divorces his wife because she is an islandess, again, there is a chiv of a man of pruvo. And if he doesn't have children, he is mechuyev to divorce this wife or at least to take another wife. Nowadays, we can't take another wife. So they would be obligated in the midst of pruvo. So they would go and divorce their wife if they weren't able to have children with her. So if the man divorces his wife because she's an islandess, so yudomer lo yasir, he shouldn't go and take her back because in this situation, if this woman goes and with the girl married to somebody else, so and then she has children with someone else, so then there is a concern that he'll say, if I'd known that she wasn't an islandess, I never would have divorced her. And we have the Kilkula problem that we had in the previous Mishnah. So that's a reviewer's opinion. Lo Yasu, he's never allowed to take her back. So therefore, he can't make a taina. Oh, if I'd known that she's going to have children with somebody else, so then she's not an islandess, I never would have divorced her. The Chachamim, no, not a problem. Yachzir, we do allow him to go and take her back. They're not concerned about this possibility of kilkul in this situation. We'll discuss this more in the Gemara. Nisis liach. So she goes and gets divorced from the first guy because he thinks she's an islandess, and she goes and marries someone else. And in fact, and she has children from the second husband. So now, v'hi tovas ksubasa. She didn't get a ksuba when she left her first husband, because he says you're an islandess, and an islandess is not entitled to ksuba. It's a mekach tos, and therefore you're not entitled to ksuba. Fine, she didn't collect the ksuba. But now she comes back to him and says, listen, I'm not an islandess, and therefore I was entitled to make the ksuba. So therefore, v'itovas ksuba. So she now wants to go collect the ksuba from the first husband who never gave her a ksuba because it was a mekach tos of an islandess. But clearly she had children with the second husband, so she's not an islandess. So I'm a reviewer. The reviewer says, in this situation, Omelo, we teach this woman, shush, shtikusech, Yofa midiburech. It's much better for you to be silent, because if you say, hey, I'm not an islandess, then your husband has the right to go say, if I know that you're not an islandess, I never would have divorced you. And therefore, the divorce would retroactively not be a valid divorce. And therefore, your living with a second husband is adultery, and the children from that marriage are mamzerim. So therefore, shush, review this as much better for you to be silent. Don't collect your kasuba, but this way, you're not casting aspersions upon your children and your lineage and your marriage to your second husband. Okay. Gemara starts off and says, Lameimra, the Rav Yehuda chayish l'kilkula. We clearly see that Rav Yehuda says we don't allow him to go and take his wife back if he divorces because she's an islandess, because he's concerned about kilkula. As I said, he's concerned that if in fact this woman has children with a second husband, as we have in the second part of the Mishnah. So then the first husband could argue, listen, if I'd known you were not an islandess, I never would have divorced you, and therefore cast questions about the validity of the get, like we had Rashi and Tosus. Rashi would say it's absolutely not a valid get. Tosus would say it would still cast aspersions upon her children, because people would argue that it's not a valid get, even if it is, and therefore Mishum Kilkula review says we don't allow the man to go take back his wife, who was a Megarish because she's an islandess. So clearly, we see Lameimah, the review, the Chayish L'Kukula. And clearly, the Rabbanon, who say, Yachsir, it's not a problem, lo Chayish L'Kukula in our Mishnah. But this seems to go against what we learned in a different Mishnah. We had this already. Va'ifla Shaminalu, we had this previously. Ditnan. Hamotzi is Ishto Mishum Shemra, lo Yachsir. Mishum Neder, lo Yachsir. If a man divorces his wife either because she has a Shemra, rumors are going about her that she committed adultery, or because she makes Nedarim, so then he's not allowed to go take her back. That was the Chachamim. Obviously, we said one of the reasons was Mishum Kilkula. They were concerned about Kilkul. And in that Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we had this early in the Shia, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol neder sheyadu bo rabim lo yachsir. Yes, you're right. If it's a neder that was done publicly that would require hataras nedarim, so therefore we are concerned that if he's allowed to go take her back, it won't send the proper message. So Mishum Pritzus, this was the second reason that Rabbi Nachman had brought down, and Rabbi Yehuda agreed with that second reason. So if it's done in public, that is something that lo yachsir, because we want to send the message that it shouldn't be something that women routinely do, that they go make nedarim. So that's why birabim, he said, you're not allowed to go take it back. However, v'shelo yadu bo rabim, if it's not something done in public, yachsir. We're not concerned that the husband will say, oh, if I'd known I was allowed to be made for an adarim, then I would never have gone and divorced her, and that would lead to kilkul. So you clearly see that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold from kilkul. Alma, the Rabbanon, who do say kilkul, chayshi l'kilkula, they say that if a woman makes an adarim, you're not allowed to go take her back, mishum kilkula. And Rabbi Yehuda is the one that lo chayshi l'kilkula, the exact opposite of over here. So we again have a seeming disconnect. Rabbi Yehuda says in one place chayshi l'kilkula, and one place he says not chayshi l'kilkula. The Chachamim say in one place we're not chayshi l'kilkula, and another place the Chachamim say we are chayshi l'kilkula. What's going on? So Amar Shmuel says, you're right, April, go switch it around. And read in our Mishnah that it's the Chachamim that say you're not allowed to take it back because they're Chayish L'Kukula across the board. And Reuud is the one that says you can take it back. He's not Chayish L'Kukula, and therefore we have no problems. Oh, so Mukhlev is Ashita. We have to flip it around. So we align Reuud with Reuud and the Chachamim with the Chachamim. And the Reuud is the one that says we're not Chayish all the time, and the Chachamim are the ones that say we are Chayish all the time. Words questions and says, wait a second, Paul McDonough Sefer, Nisei Sliacher, in our Sefer of our Mishnah, we said if a woman, in fact, is so called islandess and gotten married to somebody else, and she showed she wasn't an islandess by having children with him, so Vhi Tovaz Subasa, and she goes to be Tomei Ksuba, who said we have to be Chayish? Rabbi Yehuda, Omelah, we tell her, Shtikusech Yofi Midiburech, you better be quiet because you're going to end up being in trouble over here. If you get your Ksuba, so then he'll say, if I don't, that you weren't an islandess and I wouldn't have divorced you. Miklal, the Rabbi Yehuda Chayish L'Kukula. How can you tell me that we would flip it around and say Rabbi Yehuda is not the one that's Chayish L'Kukula? Clearly, from a Mishnah, you see that Rabbi Yehuda is Chayish L'Kukula. Shmuel says, no, not me, Hepach. So flip that around as well. Don't say, Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer La. Say, Omer Chachamim, Omer La. It's not Rav Yehuda that does this, it's the Chachamim. And therefore, we again align. Rav Yehuda always holds, it's not Chayish L'Kukula, and the Chachamim always hold, we are Chayish L'Kukula. That's Teretz number one, Shmuel's Teretz. Abaye Omer, Abaye gives a different Teretz. Lo Lom Lo Tefach. He says, no, we don't like to do Mukhlevas Ashita, flip around the Shitas, because that's the Girsa that we have, so it must be correct. So we have to try to reconcile it with the Shitas that we have. So he says, La'olam lo tepoch, and he says, Rav Yehuda's opinion is different in different cases. Rav Yehuda, ba'ayi, in the case of the woman being divorced because of Nadarim, Sava Lok Rav Meir, and in the other case, Sava Lok Rav Elazar. So he holds like Rav Meir and Rav Elazar, and therefore that will turn out that there is no stira between the two Mishnayis. Now, how do we do this? Let's go as follows. Bitzarech, in a case where the woman made a neder that required Sataris Nadarim, it didn't fall under the domain that the husband made for the neder. In that situation, Sovalok Rilazar, who says that a man doesn't want his wife to be Mizbazet. Eino Rotsa, a person doesn't want his wife to go be Mizbazet to go to the Beis Din. And therefore, there is no concern in that situation of Kilkula, because you can't say, well, if I'd known, I would have taken her to the Beis Din. No, a person doesn't want his wife to go to the Beis Din. If you'd known, you still wouldn't have taken her. And therefore, in that situation, he's not concerned in that specific situation about Kilkula. But Bisha'eino Tzarech, in a case where you don't require Hataras the Darim go to a Beis Din, but the husband could be made for the Neder, in that situation, Sovalok Rav Meir, that no, a man knows for certain that he's allowed to be made for the Darim of his wife, and therefore Rav Meir said, we're not concerned in a case of hafares nedarim, where the husband is made for the nether, that he didn't make for the nether, that he'll go and tiny afterwards, oh, if I had known, then I would have been made for the nether, and therefore kilkula. No, there's no kilkula in that situation as well, because everybody knows that the husband can go and divorce his wife, and therefore there's no kilkula in either of these two situations. So in that Mishnah, there is no concern about kilkula. But in our Mishnah, he is concerned about kilkula. It's only in that Mishnah, his baseline decision is that he is chayish l'kilkula. But not in that Mishnah, because he holds like Rabbi Elazar, there is no concern of kilkula, and he holds like Rabbi Meir, there is no concern of kilkula in their each respective cases. But his general default position is, I would be concerned about kilkula. That's Abaye's Teretz, how you can reconcile that Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says, I'm concerned about kilkula, but in the previous Mishnah, he's not concerned about kukula, because in the previous Mishnah, he is in general concerned about kukula, but not in that particular case, because if you hold like a Lazar and you hold like a Meir in the two respective cases of Tzarech and Eino Tzarech, so then there is no potential concern for kukula. That's a bias territory. Rava doesn't like it. Omer Rava, you've explained, Rav Yehuda Kasha, okay, you've explained that the answer to Rav Yehuda, that he's an instir with Yehuda, you've explained that away nicely. But what about the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan, Lokasha, what about that? In our Mishnah, the Rachamim hold that there is no Kilkula. And there that they do hold that it's a Kilkula, what about that stira? So you have to explain that away as well. And therefore, El Amar Rava, I agree with you, the Rav Yehuda, the Rav Yehuda, Lokasha, Kiddushaninan. I appreciate and like your teretz on how you reconcile Rav Yehuda to Rav Yehuda. But you didn't reconcile the Rabbanan to the Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan and the Rabbanan, I also reconcile that, Lokasha. There's no stira, and that they say that there's no kikula in our Mishnah, but in the previous Mishnah about the Dharm, they say that there is kikula. Because who are the Chachamim? Man Chachamim in our Mishnah regarding the island is Rav Meir. The Amar Abayin on Tanai Kofel, and Rav Meir is the Tana of a Mishnah who says that we don't need to be concerned about Kukula because you need a Tanai Kofel in order to have a Tanai on a get, and the only potential for Kukula is if there was a valid Tanai on the get. And in our Mishnah of Hochmei Askinon, Bidelo Kafle Litinoi, the husband didn't say the double lashon that we have from Ruven God and Chatzis Shevet Menashe when they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we want to stay in the Eivor Yadis. Moshe Rabbeinu said, great, if you come into Eretz Yisrael and fight for Klal Yisrael during the Zion years of Kibush and the Zion of Chiluk, so then you'll be entitled to stay in the Eivor Yadin. But then he added the second part. But if you don't come in to Eretz Yisrael and do the fighting with the Zion Kibush and Zion Chiluk, so then you're not entitled to the Eivor Yadin. That's called the Tanai Kofel. So this Mishnah goes according to Rebbe, who says you must do a Tanai Kofel. And since he didn't do a Tanai Kofel over here, he didn't say to the wife that I'm divorcing because you're an islandist. But if you're not an islandist and I'm not divorcing you, so he didn't state this Tanai Kofel clearly, so then there is no chashash because it wouldn't be a valid type of a Tanai without the Tanai Kofel. And therefore, that's why the Chachamim and Mishnah are not choshesh for kilkul. They are in general, but not in our Mishnah because it's Rav Meir who says you need a Tanai Kofel. Next Mishnah. Hamokhris atzmo v'yezbonu l'ovdei kochavim ein podin oso. If a person goes and sells himself and his children to be ovdei kochavim, of course not allowed to do this, and therefore we don't want to encourage people to act this way. Oh, he'll make a bunch of money, and then the Klal Yisrael, the community, will have to redeem him, and he'll keep all the money that he got for selling himself and his children as a slave, and the community will go and redeem him. So therefore, as a knas, ain't potent himself. We tell such a person, we don't redeem him. We'll see, the Gemara will say that he did this a couple of times. The first time, we don't not redeem him. But if he does this a couple of times, so then we say, no, we're not going to continue redeeming you when you go do something that you shouldn't be doing. So that's what the Mishnah says, ain't potent himself. However, Abel Poden is Abanim Liachem Yisavim. But what we don't want to consider the children. And when the father dies, so then once the father is out of the picture, he's the one that sold them, so then we go and redeem the children. Tomorrow we'll discuss this more. And more starts off and says, I'm Ravasi, Vahu, Shemacha, Vishon, Vishilish. As I already said in the Mishnah, Ravasi qualifies the Mishnah talking about where the person has done this a couple of times already. He did it two or three times at least. Shemacha, Vishon, Vishilish. So he did it three times. And in such a situation, he's shown himself that he's going to keep on doing this, so therefore we say, that's it, we're not redeeming you anymore, and therefore, ain't poden oso. Now, we have a maisa show you. Hanu b'nei bei mirsei, there were people that lived in the town of mirsei, bei mirsei, lived in bei mirsei, the yosvei zuzei mi ovdei kochavim, who borrowed money from ovdei kochavim, but unfortunately couldn't pay it back. V'lo habaluhu limit for inu, and they weren't able to pay back the loan, and what did the goyim do? Asu v'kar garbilu. So the goyim who lent them the money came and took them to be their slaves. So these people who were now slaves, they quickly ran to Rav Huna, also to come to Rav Huna, and they asked him, please go collect money to redeem us. So Amar Lui said to them, I'm sorry, my Eved L'chol, I can't do anything for you. Dithnan, our Mishnah said, Hamocher es Asmo, v'yes bono, dov dikol chovim, ein pono. So you did this to yourselves by borrowing money for these chovim and not being able to pay it back. So you essentially have sold yourself to the Ov dikol chovim. And the Mishnah says, ein pono so. So Amar Lui Rabbi Abba said to Rav Huna, but wait a second, what about Rav Asi's statement? Limaratana Rabbeinu. Now this is a beautiful lesson to learn over here. Rabbi Abba was showing his Rebbe, you made a mistake. But he didn't say, Rebbe, you made a mistake. He said, didn't the Rebbe teach me? Limaratani Rabbeinu. Didn't the Rebbe teach me this din that Rav Asi had said? The only time a Mishnah says ain't potent so is if he did it three times already. And then the fourth time, we're not going to go redeem him. So Amalei, Rav Huna said, you're 100% right, Hani. However, this isn't the first time that they did this. These people do this all the time, and they're playing with fire. And therefore, the Mishnah does apply to them. So it's as if they did this already three times, because you aren't aware of the previous times that they did this. So again, we learned a couple of things over here. Rav Huna certainly knew the din, and when Rabbi Abba wanted to go and seemingly correct his Rebbe, he did this in a very proper way, and this is in fact brought down in the Rambam, that this is the way in the Shulchan Aruch that a person has to say, Limaratani Rebbeinu, if you want to point out something that your Rebbe says that you think is an error, you don't just say, Rebbe, I think you made a mistake. You say, didn't the Rebbe teach us? And that's the proper way a person to conduct himself. Another Maisa Shoya, how Gavra, there once was a person, who sold himself to these Ludoyin. Now, the Ludoyin, Rashi tells us, these are cannibals. So this person sold himself to these Ludoyin who are going to eat him up. Also, he came to Rav Ami, and Amalei, he said to Rav Ami, and we turn to Memzayim and Aleph, Pirkun, no, please redeem me. Padani, Rashi says, they're going to eat me. So Amalei, Rav Ami said to him, listen, even though you've done this a couple of times, this is the third, fourth time that you've done this. You did this three times beforehand, apparently. So technically, the Mishnah says, ain't potent, so I'm going to find the heter for you. Amalei, tonight, we learned that our Mishnah, Amokhar, that's what's one of the Ovdi Kochavim, ain't potent, so if you've done this three times, as we said, so then the fourth time we don't go redeem him. However, if the person then dies in captivity, so we redeem his sons, because of this kilkul, it will be terrible for these children to grow up as avodim to these goyim. Now, the kol shekein here, Rav Ami says, I want to bring a heter to go and redeem you, even though you've done this three times already, because if we allow us to redeem the children, mishum kilkula, certainly, they're going to eat you up, and therefore, I'm going to paskin that we're allowed to go and redeem you, even though you've done this already three times. Only the Rabbanu said to Rav Ami, wait a second, Hi Yisrael Mumahu, this person is a Yisrael Mumer, because we saw that this person eats nevelus and trefos. He's not a good person, and therefore we don't have any obligation to go and redeem him. He's a Mumer. Rashi says, we have Eden, witnesses, Heidu Allah of Cain. We're not just making this up. We have witnesses that he's a mummer because he eats nevelus and treyos. And he's doing this lahachis. He's doing this to anger God. As I always say, the example of Leteyavon is when a guy's starving and he passes a McDonald's and he eats there. But lahachis is when he passes a McDonald's and right next to it there's a McDonald's. There's a kosher restaurant that has better food at cheaper prices. And he still goes into the McDonald's. That's Mumur lahachis. He's going to just to anger a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And such a person, you have no obligation to redeem. So that's what they told Rav Ami. So Rav Ami tells back to the people, no, maybe he's not a mumur lahachis. Maybe he's only eating because he's l'teyavon. He's a passion for this food and he can't control himself. Amalei said, no. No, there's the McDonald's and there's the McDavid's. And he could eat the perfectly good kosher food. And instead he goes and eats the non-kosher food. So Amalei, Rav Ami said, in that situation, he says to him, sorry, listen, you've unfortunately put yourself in a pickle over here, and you sold yourself to the Zudidayim a couple of times, so the din is ain't poldin. However, I was trying to find the heter, but I can't find the heter over here, because, in fact, you are not a person that is worthy to be redeemed, because you're a mumur lahaches, and therefore, I'm sorry, leave me alone, lo koshavki li, you haven't given me the opportunity to go and allow a heter to go and redeem you, and now you sold yourself to the Sudaim, you're going to have to suffer the consequences. On this note, we'll stop. This concludes today's shiur. Have a wonderful day.